All right. So, and it's, we are all family here. So, Sister Kendra, how you doing? Peace. So we are all family here. So there's no need for me to go through my introduction. Right? We all know I'm Brother Lou. This is a members only meeting. And so essentially what I wanted to do was talk about where we stand in regards to the ambassadorship program. I wanted to talk about where we were in regards to, you know, what's going to come up with the holiday. So as I just mentioned, we will have a meeting this Thursday. We will have our general meeting this Thursday on the 14th. We will have the general meeting on the 21st, Thursday the 21st. But we will not have the meeting on the 28th as I will be traveling. And so then I will see you guys at that time, I guess, in the new year on the 4th. So that's the first thing. That's how we're going to operate the rest of the year. In regards to the ambassadorship program. So I mentioned this briefly on one of the other calls. But I want, and I've mentioned this with individuals behind the scene, and I've received emails. So I just want everyone else to know, and you know, when I make this recording and put it in there, everyone can have this information. You know, don't worry about if you're working on your local chapter, don't worry about trying to scramble and find a president and a, you know, a vice president and a treasurer and all these other things right now, especially at this time of year. Because the reality of it is, you know, most people are worried about their holiday shopping. You're going to be hard pressed to recruit anyone. You know, tell them about what's going on. They'll listen to you. They'll say yeah, but most likely they probably aren't going to come off any money. They're not going to be you know, joining any memberships. I have been receiving emails from people, responses from people. Hey, I'll get back with you after the new year. We have, in terms of the membership, right, so we have people where, or the payments, where either they're pausing them or stopping them or whatever is going on, or if it's failing, they're saying, hey, could you not, you know, retry me until after the new year? So with that in mind, right, so this is the organization's first holiday season. This is something for us to learn, something for us to understand. So we'll just reconvene, or we'll press the issue in regards to recruitment and things like that after the new year. That works because it's a new year. People will be feeling reinvigorated. They'll be recommitting themselves to their ideals and their goals. They'll be trying to lose weight and save money and make more money and all these other different things. So, you know, we can approach them at that time. What I want to say, though, when we do reconvene, or in the meanwhile, if you guys, so like I know the brothers and sisters in Cincinnati and Indianapolis and L.A. and some of the other places, they already, Detroit, they have the moving pieces in place. You guys can, if you guys still want to get together to have your meetings and become familiar with one another, that is absolutely fine. The other thing that I am recommending, though, once we begin recruiting, so even though it will be the new year, recruiting will be one of the hardest things. And so it will require, you know, people to be out on the streets passing flyers and things like that. And some people just aren't into that. That's just not their thing. So what I am suggesting is the people that, you know, to get together or whatever, before you assign roles or whatever, just try to start some type of community effort. So I mentioned a cleanup effort before. The group in LA is actually moving forward with that. They have everything lined up. And so essentially what I was saying was you get together with some of the people in the area, and then you try to get like maybe your nieces and your nephews and, you know, people that you actually know, and you go out there and you say, okay, listen, we're going to clean up this block or this particular area or whatever it is, right? And when you're out there making those cleanup efforts, people are going to see you, and then they will approach you, and then there can be someone there with a flyer, with a handout or something, and the flyer or the handout can say, hey, listen, you know, wanted 2,000 black men and women to clean up this community. You know, we have some very realistic plans for how to do boom, boom, boom. And, you know, hey, go to this website, check out this video, Or you could even just put the contact information of whoever it is that wants to communicate, who doesn't mind having taking the calls in the local area. It's just that simple. The way that I've outlined the ambassadorship, the chapters, is as if the chapters were fully fleshed out, and you know how they would look when they're operational. I know that there would be challenges. I knew that there would be challenges in formulating it, because I know the challenges that I face on this side of the table. And I wanted to address people's comfortability, and so they would appreciate having a face and actually being able to meet up with someone and talk with someone. But that could also have negative effects, because let's say personalities clash or whatever. So I want to remove that pressure in terms of it being so structured. Just think in terms of doing one action. Like I said, the group in LA, they are going to move forward with the cleanup effort, and they've partnered with, I think the organization is called Cleanup LA. That group has agreed to provide them with the cleaning supplies and trucks and something else, I think. Brother Ben and Sister Kakoya was telling me. Sister Mercedes is also part of that group in LA. Hold on for a second. Sister Mercedes?
Oh, hello?
Yes, how you doing?
Right. I'm good. How is everyone? I'm sorry, I'm in the store. But I can still hear and everything. Yeah.
Well, could you speak to some of the things that you guys are doing in LA? Or were you at that meeting when you guys were talking about that with the Cleanup LA?
Yes, I was at the meeting. A GoFundMe has been created because right now our efforts are to raise awareness as well as to raise funds and stuff to kind of get the word out there. I know Brother Ben and Sister Kakoya, they talk more in depth in regards to where to put the trash, because I think the conversation was, after we clean up and everything, where are we going to put all of the trash? And Brother Ben, he had connections for landfills and stuff.
Uh-huh.
So right now, we're moving forward. We have a date for, I believe, next Wednesday. But
well, I spoke to him and said that's not
going to
happen. Yeah, he said he's going to push that back. Okay.
Yeah, we're definitely going to have to push that and do more spreading of the word and more getting more volunteers and just spreading more about the group and what our goal is collectively.
Okay, thank you. Okay, and that's been real simple. Everything's been smooth, right? You guys have been meeting, and everything has been really cool, right? Just keeping it real loose and just trying to figure out how to move forward, right?
Yes, everything has been great. A lot of like-minded people in the LA
uh-huh.
chapter. We all want
uh-huh.
the same goal for the community and for each other. And I think just with that foundation alone, we're going to make progress.
Okay. All right, thank you. Thank you for chiming in on that.
No worries.
Okay, and so Sister Ashley has joined the call. And so Sister Ashley has been very energetic in organizing things in the Cincinnati area. Sister Ashley? Hello?
Hello. Can you hear me?
Yes, I can. So how are things going on your end in regards in Cincinnati? How are things?
So I just entered the call about 5 minutes ago. I just heard that you started talking about.
We were just going over how the groups have been meeting. So I was explaining to everyone on the call that without worrying about, setting up the board and structure and everything, I was trying to explain to them that, people can just get together and try to move forward there, loosely or whatever. And I know you guys have met a few times. I know the LA members have met a few times, and Detroit members have met a few times. So I'm just trying to get a little feedback from the groups, from the people who have actually met, and see how that thing is working, how the relationships and the dynamics are working.
The relationships are working fine. Actually, we have a lot of people, like you stated, that were busy around this this holiday season. Wow. So it's a lot of people who have one person had stopped coming, and he was a major part that we needed as well. So as of right now, prior to the discussion today, we were actually focusing on getting the full four members in our administration, on our administration board. Right now, we did pick up one member, and we're discussing bringing on more members. I know he was stating that he knew a couple of people who might be interested. So at this point in time, we were just trying to bring on more members and just get through the rest of the month to move forward, because at this point in time, we don't have enough people to make a big difference here in Cincinnati.
Okay, so what I was saying, prior to you coming on, what I was saying was, you know, you don't have to worry about that at this point. You could just, you know, that's what I'm saying. So you don't have to worry about that. Just think about the people that you have. You guys, if you guys could get together, I mean, even if it's family members, and then talk with them about trying to do some type of cleanup effort. Because see, this is what I'm trying to get across to everyone on the call. Just reach out to whoever it is that you know who is expressing interest and ask them if they're willing to do something. If they're willing to do something, whatever that could be, if that's shoveling snow for older people in the community, if that's picking one block, cleaning it up, if that's, I think this was in Chicago, there was some men and some women that they went out during school, in the morning times and after school. They went out there to make sure the kids have safe passage to and from school because of all the gang activity going on in that particular area. Whatever it is that you guys can do to create some type of change, to create some type of movement in your community, that will allow people to see you guys taking action, and then that will be used. You can use that as your recruitment tool. So I just want to impress that upon everyone, because like I said, I'm getting calls and speaking with people in emails, and they're worried so much about the board and worried about setting up the business. The challenges that we face with that is, you know, so implementing those small businesses, those are experiences some people do not have. And it's, you know, I can't do that from where I'm here. I can't start a business in your local area from where I am. And so then that's why I'm saying, you know, do what you can. Do whatever you like. So we don't want to make any excuses. And if you have someone who's part of, you know, who comes along and they have some experience or they have some resources, whatever it is, then, you know, then that's when we can sit down and try to look towards implementing that. We were, Brother Cujo and I, we've been talking about the how we would go about actually collecting the used clothes and doing things like that with the nonprofit Wheelchairs Against Guns that we're a part of. And so we're trying to work out the logistics of that. But it looks like even if we were to do something, and that would be something that could spread nationwide, but it's working out the logistics of how people in your area would contribute the clothes and then how you would take those clothes, turn them into some money that could be used to fund your local initiatives, because we're really trying to be self-sustaining. And I think that business is simple enough that anyone could do, but we're just trying to figure out ways that it could work, because it does require logistics and it does require an investment of certain resources up front. So let's say if we were to do those clothing bins that we all see, so those clothing bins are like $1,500 or whatever, and you need a few of them, right? So you need about 5 or 10 of them to start. That we're trying to find a workaround. Then the other thing is when you get the clothes have to be sorted and cleaned, and then some, you know, then some are can be sold for a higher price, and then others can be recycled or whatever. So those are things that we are researching now. But a lot of, as you guys know, during this holiday season, a lot of things are slowing down, coming to a standstill, and so we'll just pick up full force, like I said, after the new year. So that is essentially all that I wanted to share. That's all that I wanted to talk about. If anyone else has something that they want to share with the group, let us know what's going on. Hold on, let me put it in Q&A. You can press star 6. You can press star 6. You can leave a comment. You can ask any questions that you have. And then if not, man, then we're going to get out of here. Hold on for a second. Sister Kendra.
Still here.
Yes, how you doing? Sister, you are in Baltimore?
Yes.
Okay, I am going to put you in touch with Sister Constance.
Thank you.
Okay, hold on for a second. Sister Constance, how you doing?
Hey, Brother Lou, I'm good.
Peace.
That was actually my question. Was it anybody in Baltimore that I can actually link up with?
I'm going to send you the sister's number right now. All right, I watched this documentary, Baltimore Rising. Whoa, that was crazy.
Yeah, I haven't watched it yet, but I heard it was pretty good.
Yeah. So that's something, and that actually is one of the. So they had all the riots, and then there was the activists. They were actually talking to the police commissioner, and he was like, "Yo, so what do you guys want? What do you want?" And it was like, "We want jobs." And I was like, "Yeah, that's really what we need to provide. I mean, if we can do that, so it's going to take a process." It's going to take some time for us to get to that point when we could actually provide jobs for these communities, provide jobs for our brothers and sisters. And I want to thank everyone for their patience. I want to thank everyone for their understanding. So I forgot who I was talking to recently, but it was so the current membership that we have, we are the men and women who understand that we are building something brand new. And because we're trying to do this the way that we're doing it, we're leveraging technology, we're doing all this, I just want everyone to know that the resources that we have, in my opinion, is basically what we will have to use to get the thing done. I don't know when we're going to get 2,000 founding members. We've had a few members. We've lost quite a few members over the holiday season, like I said. But, you know, starting on the new year, I'm going to be sitting down strategizing and figuring out how we can use what it is that we have. So I've been working on the Black Wall Street Project, which is information that a lot of people who are not members, they're on our subscriber list. So that's the ways to make money, start businesses and things like that. That's information that people really, that they have expressed interest in. That is, that information will be available to members of Black Wallets Matter, but that is not what our mission is. Our mission, we are still on course to do the things that we want to do. So I just want you guys to be aware. So, when we start the new year, we have some other initiatives that we want to start getting into. And these things are to bring more awareness to the organization, reach out to more people, but we have to reach them where they are. If someone doesn't feel that they have enough money or whatever it is, to keep food on their table, clothes on their children's back, then they obviously are not going to be thinking about joining a membership or joining a member organization and, trying to build something for the collective good of us all. They're going to be worrying about how they can get the best for themselves. And so what we really need to start focusing on is delivering those different things to the community, to the extended community, because if you remember, that is the plan of the, that is the plan of the organization. The organization is to create businesses or whatever it is, products or whatever it is, put them in front of our people. They find it of use, they spend the money or purchase it, and then we use the profits to do what it is that we need to do. That is really what we have to start doing. And if we have to start, if we have to lower our sights, if we can't buy, you know, a supermarket chain, transportation company, a manufacturing plant, if we have to set our sights a little bit lower, then so be it. Because coming in the new year, I do not want to spend the type of money that I'm spending on marketing to reach, you know, because we have, I mean, we're having thousands of tire kickers, right? We have thousands, and I mean, when I say thousands, I mean thousands, hundreds of thousands of, you know, on the call I was talking about it the other day, we have 101 or 110,000 people who've gone through one particular survey. We have like seven. So, like, that's a lot of people. And we, at our apex, we've had 444 members, 445, let's put it that. That's what we've had at our apex. And I shudder to look at what the numbers are right now, because when I post these next financials, you guys will see it's like 2 and 3 pages of just failed or whatever. But that's, you know, we remain undaunted and we will continue ahead with the mission. So, you know, I want to thank everyone for their support. I want to thank everyone for their patience. And in the new year, like I said, we will be recommitted. For those of you who want to roll up your sleeves and actually do something in your community, then the flyers will be there for you. The flyers will be there for you to print out and to distribute in your local community. If not, then you can support us or support the national organization by promoting the hell out of the organization on social media. That's what you can do. Attend the town halls, invite people to the calls. That's realistically what you can do to help us grow. And don't take offense if it doesn't resonate. What we're talking about is not for everyone. There are 1,000,001 different people talking about solutions or whatever it is on social media, on YouTube, or whatever, on the internet, in their local areas. There are people saying that the solution is religion. There are people saying that the solution is leaving the country. There are people who have with all different types of solutions. This is the solution that we believe would be effective or have some merit. And so we have to respect others with their opinions and the things that we're doing. And all we have to do is just work our plan. We have one. And the plan is very, very thorough. It needs to be adjusted to compensate for some of the things that we've learned over the course of this year. But the main premise is still the same, and it's just a few little minor tweaks in regards to what it is that we need to do to address what I now understand is a prevalent mentality going on amongst, you know, with our people or with the people in general. Because some of these things I was a little oblivious to, I have to be honest with you. Because when I say I'm serious and I say that, you know, I'm going to do XYZ, then that's what I do. And I do understand that some people don't, but you could imagine the conversations. Well, I would basically, many of you have had conversations with me one-on-one behind the scenes. So I have those same conversations with prospective people, hundreds, maybe even thousands of people at this point, and it's the same thing. And, you know, maybe they get impatient, maybe it's something I say during another town hall, whatever it is, maybe something on a Facebook page, whatever it is, and it shakes their confidence. But that's fine, because that's the nature of people. I didn't know that, though. I thought with what we're trying to do, I figured that people would be committed – and determined to try to actually make change. I thought we were ready. I didn't know that there would be a bunch of people who would just say they're ready and then not really be serious about something as important as this. So, and that's not knocking anyone. That's just a realization. That's just a reality of what of where we currently stand. So we got Brother Kuja. Hold on, let me see. Sister Constance, is there something that you want to add in summary? Hello? Okay. That's not. Brother Kuja. Yes, brother.
Hey, I'm just curious, how many people on the call today?
We had about 25, and now we're at 20.
Okay. I'm gonna say the obvious. In order for us to start a business, it's gonna take some money. And if we're gonna do it with a small group, obviously the small group would have to be contributing some money. It would have been nice if at this point we had reached 2,000 members. Obviously, that would have funded shopping, starting a shopping portal. But it's going to take a little bit more, and some of us who profess to really believe in this organization and the mission of this organization, we're just going to have to dig in a little bit deeper and actually put something together. I think that the ambassadorship program is nice and it's beneficial and it gives us some presence in local communities. But in the same fashion and direction that the organization is going in, it's going to take money. So we're going to have to raise money, just like the like get the membership dues for the local chapters. Those things will help fund little small businesses and stuff like that. But as a collective, we can also all get together and put in a little bit past the $10 or whatever and actually formulate something, a small business that's actually making money. It's not an extremely complicated thing to do. I would imagine that this is pretty much common sense, that we're going to need to put some money together to make some money. It's just like, it makes me think of the situation that y'all was just talking about earlier, where the people in, I think it was Baltimore, were they had to ask, they were asking for jobs. I mean, how do you get jobs without a business? The whole mission behind this organization is to create businesses, and by creating businesses, we create jobs and other opportunities for our community. So at the end of the day, if we're really serious about this, and anybody that has a pulse on what's been going on would be able to understand that we're going to have to actually build a business. I mean, if we start out with a small business, that just is what it is. I mean, we get together, put together $10,000, that's easy to do. I mean, 30 people doing $100 a month, $10,000 in 3 months, we can start something little. Even if it was a little internet thing to buy up some products to be able to turn over. At least we're actually doing something that's generating some money. And we have something to direct people towards. We have something to grow. We ain't going to grow much off of conversation. And I'm just hoping that everybody is realistically considering that.
Okay. Right, so you and I, we talk about that all the time. So it's just a matter of, you know, like I said, putting together the right proposal is what I think, because if we're saying putting people to work, So I know from experience the type of overhead that requires. $10,000 isn't going to get us off the ground with that. We would need to go a little bit bigger because, you know, now you have these salaries. Those salaries have to be paid until the business starts at least breaking even, supporting itself and all of that stuff.
Yeah, I mean, so, I can understand that. But at the same time, it's just like we talked about with the through the ambassadorship program, the local chapters. I mean, you can start a lawn care service with a few $1,000s. In the different little business, several different little businesses that you can start with less than $10,000. I think it's important that we actually hit the ground with something instead of just ideas. And in all honesty, I don't believe in just simply waiting and trying to make this perfect proposal. If we're going to do something, put some money up. It's not that complicated a thing to do. We're going to need money to do anything. So anybody that's interested in getting something off of the ground, I suggest that we put money in escrow or something like that. And then as a group, we can decide where that money is going to go to. It's not hard to be able to keep tabs on it. I just don't think we should be overcomplicating things like people don't start little businesses and actually start turning a dollar every day. This is something that happens. It's not like we can't do it.
All right, brother. Thank you. All right, we can have a meeting after the New Year's. We could put together, like I said, I mean, I think it needs to be a proposal put together. I like the ideas that we came up with, that we brainstormed for the ambassadorship program. I mean, to my mind, those are very simple ideas, very simple businesses. But I mean, again, you know, you got to have the hustle and you got to have the team. You got to have someone who knows how to organize and implement those, right? So you got to have someone who's there, you know, putting it together. And so then, and now it becomes, you know, now it becomes a matter of who has the time, energy to dedicate to running that particular business or that particular enterprise. So those are just some of the things that come to my mind prior to launching one of those. And so,
yeah, I'm just betting we'll figure it out faster when everybody got skin in the game.
I have no doubt. Okay. I mean, like I said, when we, you know, after the New Year, the first members meeting that we have after the New Year will be, you know, about that. That sounds cool. And then, you know, you and I can just, like I said, figure out some proposals and maybe even offer some solutions to that. I know Sister Shauna has a, you know, a possible solution in regards to taking whatever that money is and then buying the corp and, you know, using it to get a bigger, to, you know, to leverage that into larger money. You and I also talked about setting up, you know, instead offering to the members, setting up something outside of BWM, setting up a corporation, a structure outside of BWM, so that way members could have the shares. They could have the you know, their portion for, you know, based on their contribution. So these are just all the things I think it needs to just be put together in a formal proposal. All right.
I hear you.
Okay, brother. Brother Howard. Brother Howard.
Yes. How's everybody today? I want to piggyback on what Brother Cujo is saying. He's right. We need to, I agree, we need to get up more money, like he's saying. So I'm going to make that my goal next year to do that. I'm going to have to put in more money than what I'm putting in now. And we try to make something happen. And I got two guys that's gonna join. They're gonna become members. And I'm gonna try to encourage them to do like the $50 a $50 package. And if they can get more, then I'm gonna see if they can do that too. If the Lord willing, they'll be on the conference call Thursday. But they said they're gonna become a member. So Brother Luke, do you have is there anybody I know Sister Kim is from Dallas, but do we have anybody else that's from Dallas?
I put you in contact with everyone. I put you in contact with everyone that I come into that's in the Dallas area every single time. I give them your number. And so if they haven't reached out to you that's just the reality of what this is, ladies and gentlemen. I mean, so we're going to have people, they're going to come in a mix, they come on those calls, they say, they express interest, yes, sign me up, or whatever it is, and then it does not come to fruition. That is just the reality of what we're dealing with, which is why we're having a call like now and saying, listen, you know what, we need to move ahead with what we currently have, because I'm wasting a lot of time and energy entertaining tire kickers, and I don't want to do that. I'd rather focus time and energy on working our plan. You understand what I'm saying? So,
yes, sir.
But you and Sister Kim, and there's another member, though. There are a few members in Dallas, though. So they, but I know one of the other sisters, she was like, she can't really do anything. It's Christmas time right now. So she was like, after the New Year's, she'll call. All right?
Yes, sir. Okay.
Thank you, brother. Yep, and thank you for inviting the brothers on the call.
Yes, sir. Sure. No problem.
Great. Brother Terrence.
Hello?
Yes, brother. What's going on?
How you doing, Brother Lou? This is Brother Terrence, man, in Tampa.
Peace.
A lot of stuff y'all are saying is a lot of the reasons why we can't get new members to stick around. I think it's a lot of people wanting to see what actions we are taking, and we're going to have to just start taking actions, like you said. Like we can't sit around and wait to see if more people are going to come and see if more people are going to sign up. We just got to start getting rolling so people can see actually what we're doing. But my idea was actually looking at into like private labeling. So it won't take much as far as funds to get started up, and it wouldn't be as hard for us to get something going like on Amazon, or you know what I mean, just something that we can do. We just come up with a brand and just basically just sell it on Amazon.
Actually, the brother Cujo and I was talking about that over the. I do that. It's not easy. It's not as easy as just coming up with the stuff. There's because it's, I don't know if you've ever done it. It's extremely competitive now. And you basically have to lose money so that you can build up your brand, get your ranking, and your data. And, and so those were some of the challenges that, that I wanted to explain to people, based on whatever decision we made, because it requires a hefty investment. Because you got to buy Amazon ads in order for you to rank your product, and then you have to give away a bunch of your product. You got to give away maybe 500 units of your product so that you can get your ratings and all of that. But I do like ideas like that. We were saying things like, like potato chips and cakes and juice. That way we could give people routes in their local area, and so then that's creating the jobs. So we could find someone that makes the potato chips or makes cakes or whatever it is, create our own brand, because all of that stuff is all the ingredients and all that stuff is all available white label, like how Walmart makes its own brand of that type of stuff. And then now we could roll it out neighborhood to neighborhood, because now it's like, okay, cool, do you want to represent or do you need a job? Okay, so here's your route. And it's basically,
and that's,
like,
that's, you know, more of, that's more of what I think would be more feasible for the group. Like, Amazon is just an idea we could sell whatever on. You know what I mean? But as far as getting out into our community and getting the local stores or wherever we are, the corner stores, the bodegas, or getting out and getting the product into those stores is something that would be good, actually, for us. We can even get the name out while we're getting, you know what I mean, just other avenues of action instead of just waiting for more money to come in. That's, I mean,
right. It's right. It's I mean, but all of those things. So all of these things take an investment. I mean, and if you look at the financials, if you look at the financials, you look at the membership dues. The membership dues don't cover those types of investments. And so what we would and I personally would feel that we would have to set up a different entity. So here's the thing with Black Wallets Matter. Here's how I was looking at it. The biggest problem that we have in our community is that we don't have a business, or we don't have a source of income for the Black community. We don't, the Black community and the various communities, there is no business or no person that is operating a business specifically to contribute to or reinvest in the things that community needs, specifically cultural and educational and occupational training. Those are the things that are lacking from our community. And when they left the schools, what I noticed is in other white communities and, you know, Jewish communities and all these other things, they took up the mantle and started providing those things to their own for their own people. They started, you know, like the Jewish community, they have it in their yeshiva schools and all of that stuff. They teach those kids the things that they want them to know. And then because a lot of those people own businesses, they have those apprenticeship-type programs. It's not called apprenticeship. It's just, hey, you know, your uncle owns a plumbing company, and, you know, your sister's like, take little Johnny with you, and now little Johnny is learning how to become a plumber. Or, you know, like in New York, a lot of those Italian guys, they got, like, the construction unions locked up. And so, you know, you don't even have to go to high school. I mean, well, you don't even have to go to college. As soon as you graduate high school or something, you're going with, like, your uncle, or you're going to one of these apprenticeship programs, and now you got, like, a union job. That's how these people are filling the shortfall that, you know, when the government or whoever it is took these things away. We don't have anything like that. And so I was thinking, my solution was, you know what, the community needs these things, and so it needs to be built by the community. The amount, the contribution is so small, the $10, $25, to $50, it's basically negligible. The people could reap the rewards for that contribution. And when I was saying that, like, so if you watch the blueprint, if you remember from the blueprint, it says that it would be set up like a union. Before this organization was launched, I engaged the same companies that provide the benefits to the unions. The first one was like a shopping, it was like this discount shopping cart. Members would have been able to go to like their local stores, Walmart and, you know, favorite restaurants or whatever it is, and you have this card and you're able to get discounts. With the money that you would have been able to save from that, that alone would have been able to pay for the membership. But the problem is we never got to the numbers that we needed. Now, I spent the money for it, but we never got to the numbers to actually use this. Because you got to have, actually, you need 5,000 people. I figure by the time we get to 2,000, the snowball would be rolling so fast, 5,000 would be there, and, you know, we would just have to cover the 3,000 shortfall for a month or two. That's how I calculated this. That has not yet come to fruition. And so in the meanwhile, while the members would have been enjoying those types of things, then we would have the revenue base would have constantly been growing, and the membership dues could help offset basically the money that you have to lose to get a business started. So if anyone, you know, so I'm sure we, you know, we have business owners on this call. It's called it. That is your investment, the investment that you have to make in your business until it breaks even, and then until you're able to start eventually seeing a profit. Well, for one individual, the magnitude of the businesses that we need, that is just a huge amount of money. But if you break it down over 1 million people, over 10,000 people, over however, you know, now it becomes $10, $25, or $50, and it's negligible. And that was the overall vision. That was the overall plan. So like I initially said, and then the other component, right? So when you're saying you want the business, you know, you got to start the business to do this. When someone makes, I believe, when someone makes a substantial investment, well, then they are looking for a return on their investment, or they are looking for equity ownership. This, the way that this organization needs to be structured, Black Wallets Matter, we can't have people having equity ownership in the organization. They get mad, and then they either sell it, liquidate it, or do whatever. Like, we can't lose control. That's what has happened to all of our other organizations in the past. That's exactly how a lot of the things that we've had, it was undermined. This is how you take something like BET, you know, and we know, you know, our people no longer control it. I'm not knocking Mr. Johnson for making a decision that's in his best interest, but that's why we needed something structured like this, something that doesn't belong to them, something that belongs to the people, something that is just, you know, it's done from a point of benevolence, because if we do not become selfless, that is the number one reason why we don't have nothing. All the talking, all the stuff that I hear and read and see when, you know, people post their solutions and this, that, and the third, until some group of people say, you know what, I'm putting my money where my mouth is and I'm not looking for a personal return, no, we will never have anything in the black. Never. Because I'm looking at everybody else who does, and they have those things built right into their system. The Jewish people, you go to the store, a cake costs $50 and I'm 50 cents in our store. It may cost 60 cents in their store, 65 cents. They go in there and they pay that 65 cents happily, because they know the 15 cent is going to the rabbi or going to the synagogue or whatever. And then a guy, when he comes up with a good business idea or plan or whatever, he knows he can go to the synagogue and get a no-interest loan. And sometimes they default on it. Well, actually, you know what? It's not that they default. They take longer than the repayment period. And what they do is get the money and forward it and give it to the next person coming up. So let's say if they were supposed to pay it back in 5 or 10 years, they don't. But now, you know, 20 years later or 15 years later, they have the money. They would go and stake another entrepreneur. That's what we need. That's what we need. So, you know, we got a lot of work, man. We got a lot of work.
It's definitely a lot of work to do, man. And it's, I hate to say it, but it's a lot of it is we're divided on so many issues that
We are, brother.
We don't bring up religion in the group, but that's one of the major things that divides us, I think, too. But that's a different story.
What, religion, bro? Yeah. My mother raised me as a Christian. My mom's raised me as a Christian. I'm no longer a Christian. I actually have no religion. I don't care if a person is a Muslim. I know what the purpose of religion. Religion is to give people guidelines, helps them live right. Almost all religions are all based on the same thing, and it's a guideline to help you live your life right, to live righteously, right? I can put that aside. I can put the title on the religion to the side for the greater good for my people. I can look my brother or my sister in the eye and say, you know what? I don't care what you call, I don't care what you look like. I don't care what you call it or whatever it is. I love you because when they on the outside look at us, they ain't gonna make the distinction. They don't care what your religion is. They don't care where you come from. They don't care how we're different. They're going to call us nigga, and they're going to go upside our head. If that's the agenda. And we have to find the people like that. Finding you guys is hard. It's hard. I'm telling you, it's really, really hard.
Oh, I know.
Look at the data. Look at this. I mean, literally hundreds of thousands. At one point in time, we had about 24,000 to 34,000 people just coming through that site, like just boom, 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 boom. Just slamming the service. The phones used to ring all the time. I'll be on the phone with you, and it you know, with different people, and always got to click over, hold on. Somebody calling the Black Wallace Matter, hold on. I mean, it was just slam. It was crazy. And then, you know, you got to find where people are. And when I say, the problem is you're calling yourself black, or the problem is, you know, you love Jesus, or the problem is, you know, you don't love Obama, or whatever the reason they would say, they're looking for the difference. They're looking for the points of difference. And I'm saying, but you know what? Listen, none of that matters. How about we focus on the commonalities? How about we focus on the fact that there are some people that there is an agenda, and there has been an agenda to oppress us for who knows how long, right? And as it was a sister, she came on a call, I don't know, I want to say this is about maybe a month ago, and she was like, it's realistically because they fear for their existence. Because if you mix a black baby with a white baby, then what are you going to get? You're going to get no longer a white baby. And they are the minority on this planet. And yet they have devised a way to get all control. They have enslaved all of humanity. They are methodically going from country to country. They're catching people in the freaking Amazon jungle, right? Like this was like maybe 2-3 years ago. Found some people that had never been found before. And like, yo, come out the jungle now because we want to bulldoze this stuff and use the wood and whatever else. Like, I mean, like they have figured out a way, and whichever one of them devised that plan, they were like some brilliant freaking strategists. And whether they stole it from, I don't even think they stole it from us because we're not even doing nothing like that. We've never even planned nothing. I don't even think we have that level of diabolical evilness in our hearts. But they always, if you go and you read their theorists and all of that, and their philosophers and all of that stuff, if you go and you sit down, them dudes was like heavy thinkers. These dudes was just sitting around looking at every single little thing and thinking why, and thinking how could we control it and be in power. The common thread between all of that is that they have always had ample resources to do the things that they want to do. And resources, and so maybe back then that was grain and wheat and whatever else, today that translates into cold hard cash. That translates into money. They got everybody fighting for the scraps, and they look at the central banks, the people in power. They have retained all the power. Every single dollar that comes into existence, and not just in America, all across the world where there's a central bank, every single dollar that is initiated comes with an obligation of debt, a repayment to them. Everything. They just create money out of thin air, and then they make everything tied to money. They give everything a value. It costs money. There's many people on this call that's older than me. I was telling my kids when I was little, a pack of Kool-Aid used to be like 5 cents, a dime or something like that. My uncle used to go to the store. My mother would give him like $5, $10 to watch me and my brother. He would get a whole meal for like freaking $2, $3 and spend the rest of it on cigarettes and beer. And me and my brother would be in the crib stuffed. You know, he was supposed to buy like chopped meat. Like he may have brought like liver or something, but it doesn't matter. Liver, rice, a can of beans or a can of corn or whatever, they have figured out a way. And if we don't get hit, everybody else, they know the game and they're not complaining. They're just doing what they got to do. Because if the Latinos can figure this out, there's no reason we can't. Latinos, I remember this, and many of us remember, like around the 80s, maybe mid-80s, 90s or something, it was like, oh, man, all these Mexicans come over here and they cutting grass, so you could get a Mexican to do whatever, whatever for dirt cheap. All right, cool, they doing it for dirt cheap, and they sending back $25 billion to their country, and then now they're creating businesses here in our country and still sending money back, doing all the dirt work for dirt cheap. They never complained. They never did nothing. They just got on the grind, did what they had to do, handled their business. They didn't even have a big meeting about it. These Arabs, I don't even really remember when they took over our stores. Because when I was growing up, the stores was owned by black. My grandfather owned it. My grandfather and my father owned the store. And then Spanish people, they had stores. But then next thing you know, the Arab, I don't even know when this happened. But it is. They didn't give us a memo. They didn't alert us. They just handled their business. And so what the group of us have to do, maybe we all need to get together. Maybe the people will say after the New Year's, maybe we all going to have to go, I don't know where, meet somewhere and sit down and look each other in the eye and say, yes, I'm serious. And then we are going to have to make those moves within our own group of people. We don't have to be talking about it. And that's the other thing, too. That's the first piece. We can't be talking about it because we already know our people, they're going to try to tear us down. It's just going to be too much problems. We don't need that. We figure out exactly what they want, like you were saying, and this is in the blueprint. We figure out what they want. We put the money in. We put the money up. We put some stuff in front of them. If they don't want that, we liquidate that, and we go and we do something else. Because despite – all right, so we all know that we're the largest consumers of this, that, and the third, and you guys may think it's easy to sell to us, but it's really not. It's really not selling. If you look at the marketing, no one does really, really hard marketing towards us. What they do is they do brand general marketing. They'll do – you know, McDonald's commercials, they'll do Ford commercials, they'll do all stuff, but they don't go really, really hard because we are very, very fickle. That's why our hip-hop artists and stuff like that, they don't, you know, go like rock and roll people. That's why clothing brands and stuff, you know, the black ones, they don't really last like all that long, like a Ralph Lauren or a Nautica or whatever. We got really, really fickle taste. When we loyal to you and we like it, like Newports or something like that, then we stick it with it. When I was a kid, it used to be Kools. It used to be Kools and Old English. I don't know when they switched it to whatever. But we have to figure out those things. We have to figure out what our people want, and we put it in front of them, and maybe we don't say it's black owned. Maybe we just be like, it's just here. And then the people who count, maybe the people that we got to talk to, distributors or whatever it is, we go in there and we talk to them. And then if you go in, you talk in the right type of numbers, they will do business with you because that's what I do. There's no one blocking me from success. Cops and stuff, cops are not thinking about stopping nobody from no business. Cops come into my shop and they get their haircuts or they go across the street to the bar when they off duty and they drink. They're not in there checking the paperwork and, oh, y'all making too much money, oh, you're black. They don't even care. So we need to stop looking at the excuses and just start marching and moving forward And that's pretty much the sentiment that Brother Cujo was echoing. We were on the phone for about 8 hours the other day talking about all the different things. And, you know, he's, like, impatient and fed up. I have to remain a little more calm, right? So I have to stay in Brother Lou mode because, you know, I'll scare off some folks because, you know, the folks do get skittish. But I think when we meet, I think we have to put together a meeting or something. We come somewhere and we say, hey, listen, we're serious. This is what we're doing. If we lose other members, that's fine. We will be the ones to just move the thing forward, and we will figure it out. I think that's really what is going to wind up being the situation. And we need brilliant, committed people. And I've spoken to a lot of you guys behind the scenes. You guys have great ideas. You guys are really sharp on your toes, you know, things like that. And so that is what we need. Those are the kinds of people that we need to do this anyway. Brother, we got Sister Shamika in the queue. I didn't want to make this a full, long call like the other one. And I'm sorry, brother. You know, what you said was right on point. I just got a little excited there. Let's get to the sister. I know, man. Let's get to the sister, and then we're going to wrap this call up, brother. And you could just hit me up behind the scenes, and we could continue building. All right,
brother.
Yep. Sister Shamika.
Hey, just really piggybacking off of the other two gentlemen and just saying that I concur with them wholeheartedly. I mean, we do have to start making strides. It's the group here now. What can we start to do? Because like you were talking about the jobs and things of that nature. So what I'm working with Sister Shauna on is I had to go through, create the life vision for myself, what I wanted to leave here, what's the legacy that I wanted to leave for my kids and my kids' kids, and then figuring out how do we start to prioritize those things and bring something into fruition for the community. And so where it all boiled down to is that we're going after manufacturing first. We have our restaurant here in Atlanta. We're selling to black people on a regular basis. I just had somebody today reach out and say, hey, do you all sell your tartar sauce? So I know we're going in the right direction. And it was just serendipitous just going through that process with Sister Shauna. If Sister Shauna has reached out to anybody else on this call, and if you have a business, you should take her up on helping you with your strategic planning, financial planning, whatever, because so far it's been a really good step for us here in Atlanta. So we're going into manufacturing. So y'all are talking about products and things like that. I'm not sure where it's going to go now. We're trying to finish all of our planning and analysis and everything by the end of this month so that, you know, come January, we do have a plan that we're going after and seeking. But if once we are done, if it's something that investors could invest in and take part in, we'll come back here to this group and present it to you. But we want to do the same thing in terms of taking our tartar sauces, our sham sauces, our lemonades and teas, and we want to get that into grocery stores, local restaurants around here that they might use Heinz, but I know ours is much better. And then, hey, put it on Amazon, put it in different places where we can sell and make this money. So, again, we'll come back to the table if it's something that we can offer to other investors, but we are thinking about this. I do think that from a standpoint in terms of offering jobs to our community, something in those lines of manufacturing, I think, would be ideal. And that's the question.
Thank you, sister. Sister Shauna, she said that to me, too. So I guess when you guys start moving forward a little bit, then, you know, we can start talking about the distribution, because that's essentially what it is. It's distribution,
yeah.
And then it's a comprehensive marketing program. And you may have to do a little subsidy to get these restaurants and things like that to start using it, seeing what's going on, and you know, so we'll talk about that. All right.
Perfect.
And then we have Brother Lawrence. Brother Lawrence. Hello, brother.
Yeah, I was on mute there. Sorry about that. Can you hear me now?
Yes, I can, brother.
Okay. Not going to take long. As a new member, it's been a good call to listen to. I guess I'll concur in starting with Brother Cujo. I haven't been on the calls, obviously, but I do understand the sentiments. I think everyone was sharing that some movement has to be created to move forward. As I think about you, brother, and, you know, you pointed out that when you talked about ethnic communities and how they have gone about creating something for their own within their communities, whether it's Jewish community, Italian community, and when I think about that, they pretty much, you know, when I read those histories, they selected an industry or a segment of business in which they will dominate. And they just, you know, kind of focused in on that. So, you know, I don't know if that is a thought or anything that has been discussed in previous calls, but that may be something to consider. And that's all I'll say on that. I'm from the Atlanta area. It's the second point I want to make. And so I would like to connect to those who are here in the Atlanta area, if you have some of those ambassadors or people that are meeting. And so if you would send me some information on who those folks are so that I can reach out to them as well. And that's it. That's it for me.
Thank you so much, Brother Lawrence. Thank you so much. Do me a favor. Just send me an email.
Okay.
And then I will put you in touch with Sister Shamika. There are a few of you guys in Atlanta. And so, you know, I'll put you in touch. But, you know, what I think what really needs to happen is there needs to be the thing that I use is called Slack, and it's like these individual channels for different people, but, you know, I wouldn't put Slack in our thing. But we need, like, maybe a feed or something for people in the different areas so that way they could, you know, reach out to whoever and just talk about what's going on in those areas. So that's something that, something that needs to be looked at. We tried to use Facebook for it. Facebook is lowering the reach, so you could post something in our group, but it won't necessarily reach anyone. So, all right, so just send me an email in to express that interest. What you can do is download in the members area, you can download the ambassadorship guidelines, and then towards the end of it, you'll see some of the businesses, some of the things that we were talking about getting involved with. In terms of small businesses, these are businesses considered, you know, one of the major hurdles that we're going to have is that we're dealing with a mostly untrained workforce or group of people. And so, you know, we can't have an extensive training program, one, because we don't have the money to train them. So like our brother Cujo was saying, something like a landscaper service, that's nothing. Grab a lawnmower, grab a weed whacker, grab a blower. And, you know, maybe there's the guy who's leading the team. Maybe he's read, like, a book or something about nurturing grass, right? You know, when to lay down the fertilizer and, you know, and the lime and all of that other crazy stuff like that, right? So that's not a complicated process. And, you know, maybe we can just do it the same way the Mexicans did. They came here with nothing but the clothes on their backs and the willingness to work. They stood in front of those Home Depots and, boom, you know, stood in front of Lowe's and moved to, you know, landscaping and doing everything else. Now they own the landscaping businesses. Landscaping businesses make a lot of money, because when I moved out the city, I never realized that, well, you know what, everybody else has lawns and everybody needs the grass cut. I didn't realize that living in the city, because, you know, we ain't had no lawns. But out here, yeah, you need that. So that is definitely something that we could do. The junk hauling, that's a multi-billion-dollar industry. That doesn't require anything but, you know, a truck and, you know, some muscles. And so, you know, so we have, like, those types of ideas. We have some really good ideas in there. So just take a look at it, man, and send me an email and let me know what you think, and we'll, you know, we can go from there, brother.
You got it. Will
do. Thank you, brother. Yep. Sister Angela. Yes, sister.
Yeah, I just wanted to, you know, I've only been on, this is like my second call, so I'm not sure what you guys have discussed, you know, leading up to this point in past. But my question is, have you guys thought about investing in cryptocurrency at all?
We had a brother who was on a call a while back, and he was doing that. He was trying to form a cryptocurrency investing group, but he had a stroke. And so that group never materialized. So when he was saying it, I was looking at it. The thing that I don't like from the people that I see disseminating the information, they don't really understand what they're talking about, because they're talking about it like replacing money. They're talking about it as a currency. Investing in things like that. It's not investing. You would be speculating. There is no inherent value in any of those currencies except for the belief that they're worth something. The blockchain, the technology, the underlying technology is the value. But the way how Bitcoin is right now, like the price that it is now, you would go and try to buy like a soda for $1, but then you have to pay like $40 in transaction fees or something like that. And general people aren't spending it. They aren't going out and spending it. And so it's not really a currency yet. It's an asset class. And all you would be doing is speculating. I personally would not take membership money and do that. I would speculate. Well, I'm not even doing it with my own money. But I wouldn't take a group of people's money and say that we are actually investing. What we would be doing is speculating and risking and, you know, hoping that we're not at the top of the bubble and hoping that it can raise, you know, higher and higher and higher. So, you know, in terms of investing from, you know, the type of investing that I like to do, I would like to have some type of competitive edge. I would like to be able to influence the value of that asset. So if we're saying buying, you know, dilapidated homes and then, you know, rehabbing them and creating value that way. And so then now we have control and influence over the value of what it is. Housing has an inherent value. So that is something that would translate across the board. You know, the cryptocurrencies and things like that. I see that more countries are trying to, you know, not in the U.S., but more countries outside of the U.S. are looking to adopt it or trying to use it or trying to validate it. But like I was mentioning a little earlier on the call, and I don't know when you came on, these central banks, the European and the American central banks, and really since we've got the central banks here in America, they basically control what is going to be accepted in terms of the world's currency or what's going to be accepted for value. And I was just reading an article before I got on this call because, Bitcoin just jumped real crazy, and I was explaining to my kids what Bitcoin was. If the U.S. government, and they have done this in the past with gold, if the U.S. government or the central banks feel that, you know, these cryptocurrencies are posing a threat to the dollar or whatever it is, they will just essentially say you can no longer have Bitcoin, you can have this Fed coin, you can go take this, change it over dollar for dollar. It's going to be tied to your Social Security number. If you have Bitcoin, it's illegal. We're confiscating it just like how they did the gold back in the days. Like, they really made it illegal at a point in time for you to. I think even now you can't have, like, bullion blocks of gold in your house. You got to have like the coins or something like that. So, you know, I just don't, you know, in terms of being the fiduciary of this organization, I couldn't in good conscience take the money and go and put it in there, especially because I know, you know, I've done trading before and I've only heard maybe two or three people say, hey, let's trade cryptos. And so when I hear someone say that, let's trade or something like that, then I'm like, okay, cool. Do you understand the monetary system? Okay, so they understand the monetary system, and they're saying, let's just get it while the getting is good. That I can respect. But in terms of, like, actually trying to build some type of future with it, there's just no way. It's just the foundation is just not solid enough.
Okay, because I was really, like, really talking about not necessarily the actual currencies themselves, but the technology behind it. So, like, some of the businesses and stuff that have been started out of, you know, like the blockchain, and then you have a couple of the other ones that are replacing the blockchain with the, I can't remember the name of it, but it's, I think it's called Cardano or whatever. And so they're trying to create where there is sustainability, and that's what you're talking about. You're talking about, like, it being able to last for a long period of time, and that it actually will be an actual currency that they will actually use at some point in time in the future, correct?
No, I'm not. I'm just saying inherent value. So for whichever practical use that it would be, so when everyone came out and said that it's going to be a currency and it's going to replace the dollar, when people start saying, as soon as they said that, I like rolled my eyes. I was like, all right, you don't understand the monetary system. You don't understand how we wind up with this dollar. And so it's really hard for me to, like, listen to people when they're saying this, because they just have, like, it's like they don't understand, you know, the origins of our central banking system, right? They don't understand what happened in 1913. They don't understand what happened, you know, in Europe and how the Rothschilds came into power, and, you know, that this government and all of these other governments are actually indebted. The governments are indebted to these private banks. They will not, the private banks are saying, I want to be paid back like this. I want to be paid back in this. This is what my debt is. The agreement for these private banks to lend these government money was that we can print the money. This country was bankrupt a few times, went bankrupt a few times, and, you know, the Rockefellers and, you know, J.P. Morgan and all these other people bailed this country out a few times. And so when, you know, so one of the times, you know, I forgot exactly what happened, but in 1913, they were like, listen, your money is looking funny again. Here, how about you let us institute this central bank as a condition of, right, you'll never have to worry about the money, you know, you'll never have to worry about not having enough money, you know, to run your government, because the government is not ran by business people. The government is ran by, like, lawyers and professional freaking talkers, professional politicians. It's not ran by business people. They don't even, it's like they don't even understand the concept of checks and balances, how crazy and how indebted we get. But, you know, that's another story.
Right.
But I do understand. I was going to say, if you're talking about investing in the technology, then that's cool. I don't know enough about all the different companies. I don't know enough about all the different companies to say, you know what, I think that this should be the one that we would look at. What I do know is that there are industries, there are businesses right now. So a perfect example, lawn care. There are some people right now somewhere that need their grass cut. If we had a bunch of men in trucks or, you know, crews running around with lawnmowers over here, it just snowed the other day, people running around with snows, plows on the front of their trucks or whatever it is, people with junk in their house need it moved. If we had people like that, that would be able to put men to work, that would generate money for that company, there should be profit, and then that would allow this organization to create money. So the simpler, the better, as far as I'm concerned. You know, my personal investment, I would look to be doing something sophisticated with the organization and the memberships money. No, I wouldn't want to, you know, get sophisticated like that.
Okay.
I would want to keep it simple. Now, if you know something, if you know something and you have a competitive edge for us, then present that as an opportunity for individuals.
The individuals in the group.
Yes, absolutely.
Okay. I'll put something together. All right, thank you.
Thank you. Mm-hmm. Brother Cujo.
I want to taste the tartar sauce.
Sorry?
That's all I really wanted right now. I want to taste the tartar sauce.
Mm.
That's the sister
guy. Oh, you mean from?
And I want to check the
from sister.
No. Yeah,
okay.
I want to know about the tartar sauce. I want to taste it. And,
I don't even know
if
she's still on the call.
In case I swing through Atlanta, I can try it out.
Okay. I know it's Chef Laz. I can't see her on the call, but it's Chef Laz. I don't have the address, but I can get it for you. Or maybe she could ship you. But you got to taste it with the fish too, I'm sure. But we'll figure that out, brother. I'll speak with the sister and try to get the information for you. But I do know it's called Chef Laz Fish Fry, if I'm not mistaken.
Okay.
All right. All right. Cool. And brothers and sisters, that will conclude this call. And we almost wind up going for 2 hours. I'm not even apologizing for being passionate, because you know we're family, right? So if this was the regular call, then maybe. But I love the fact that there are those of us who are committed, because then that shows me that we do have a chance. I think it's Brother Cujo. Someone just keeps telling me to look up W.E.B. Du Bois and the talented 10th. I don't, you know, really know all of that. That kind of like rubs me the wrong way. It's like, wait a minute, were you trying to say we can't do this together? But you know what? Everything isn't for everybody. And the data is showing me that. While we were on the call, have people texting me and people saying that they appreciate what I'm sharing tonight and appreciating me being a little bit more personable. So I want to thank you guys for that, for recognizing that. And like I said, we will not have a call on, what is that? It is Thursday the 28th, but we will have a call this week, Friday the 14th. Thursday the 14th and next week, Thursday the 21st. All right, so brothers and sisters, I want to wish you all well this evening, and we will talk next time. Peace.
All right,
good night, everybody.
Good night.
Good night, everybody.
Good night, everyone. Good night.
Good night, everyone.
Peace.